This is writer Kyle Higgins, and you've jumped inside the Pull Bag, only on the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the Pull Bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the Pull Bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the Pull Bag.
Hello and welcome to the Pull Bag. This is episode 529. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, almost sort of as always on this radiant journey, is Mr. Joe Reed. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, I am all right.
That's good.
I'm vertical. I'm breathing.
Yeah, vertical, breathing. We need all that good stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are here to talk about Radiant Red, which is the miniseries that introduces Satomi to us. Actually, we're going to be skipping part of this because the trade paperback, the lovely trade paperback, we already covered issue 6 in Radiant Black. They include the prologue is issue 6 from Radiant Black. So we've already covered that in volume 1.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
I thought
all of that looked very familiar.
Uh-huh. Yep. Which is one of the reasons why when the prologue pages came up, this title page here where it lists all the creatives, it says volume 001, Brave New World. But on the actual cover, it says volume 1, Crime and Punishment. So I don't know what the hell to title the episode because it has two different titles on the damn thing. But we'll go with Crime and Punishment. And
that sounds more appropriate.
Yeah. Main writer on this is Cherish Chen. Kyle Higgins is co-writing on this, along with David LaFuente is the artist. Colorist is Miguel Murto. The letterers were Diego Sanchez and Becca Carey. Radiant Black created by Kyle Higgins and Marcelo Costa. The Kyle Higgins, Michael Basudel, and Rich Folks were the rest of the team here. So yeah, prologue. Oh boy, I gotta turn that off for now because that'll be, ladies and gentlemen, finally, after all this time, Guided View is now in Amazon Kindle. So yay, I actually have the old Comixology Guided View finally on the Amazon Kindle thing. Why Amazon didn't just put Amazon.comixology.com in front of that is beyond me, but it is what it is, so.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
All right, so we are here talking about Radiant Red and where we left off Satomi. She handled it. The end of the prologue. She robbed the bank. Chapter 1, Brave New World. What were you thinking as you were reading this?
The thing, I always am looking for parts of the character to relate to, and I have a hard time relating to people making really dumb, selfish decisions. Okay. And robbing the bank is not the way to do it.
No.
And I don't think it gets much better.
No. I mean, it gets better because she realizes, like, she doesn't want to be, like, you know. I think she starts off at a place where, and we talked about this in Volume 1 for Radiant Black with Issue 6. She does this out of desperation. She finds it's like... kind of like Lex Luthor and Clark Kent, sort of, because Lex would do it for evil, but he would stay evil, whereas Clark might, you know, be infected by red kryptonite. That's something that's infecting him. That's not something, like, he's not choosing to be evil. And she is, like, when people get desperate, they will do desperate things, whatever those desperate things are. And this is her desperate thing.
I mean, from her point of view, she's saving her marriage. Are they married? Or are they engaged?
No, they're engaged. They're, you know, going to be married at some point, but no, they thankfully call that off. But yeah, so we see here how she's robbing the bank and all of that, and then we cut to Romeoville, Illinois, 2 months later. The destruction in Lockport has been disastrous. And
this is where Radiant Red and
Radiant Black fight.
Black were fighting.
Yep. And this is kind of where we will start with her story and Owen's story. And I never really cared about Owen. I don't know what
he's,
it is.
He's a dirtbag.
He's a dirtbag, yeah.
And they're talking about the money that's still there that they're afraid to spend because it can be traced back. And I'm reminded of Office Space where they're looking up how to launder money.
Yeah. Owen is the combination of Peter Gibbons and Matt Damon's character in Rounders. I forget what his name was, but in Rounders, Matt Damon has the gambling thing. He has the card thing. Or no, it's Ed Norton that has the full-on thing, and Damon's character has gotten out of it. But the point is, Damon is like a card-sharp kind of character in that movie, and that's. But Owen, I don't have an attachment to Owen. Like, and she's like, we're not touching it, Owen. We're not. Can I? And he asks her, which is, you know, I mean, this is one thing I do like about him. Why did you rob all those banks? I don't know. All our problems have gotten so big and I was tired. I wanted to fix everything, I guess. And that's the thing about fixers is when people think they can fix something and sometimes it's not the right fix, then that's, you know, she says that she thought she was saving them. And he's
just created another problem, really.
Pretty much, yep. So he's got to go to his group thing, and you know, he mentions that it's time to sell the house, and she agrees. And we go to, where is this?
This is her parents.
Her parents' house. That's right. Oh, that's her sister. Okay, her nieces and nieces and nephews. Oh boy.
My aunt is a bank robber.
Uh-huh. I'm going to grow up to be just like her. And her sister said, or whatever, says that, you know, here's all the stuff. She starts going through the stuff. And she finds this book or folder thing. And it's, it's her
Yearbook thing
from high school. Okay. I will say I like the art in this. I think the art is really good. I like you look at these two panels here. She's looking like you see the black background, and obviously people can't, you know, if you have the trade folks, you know what I'm talking about. But the black background with her and then it goes to like cream color wall background. And, you know, she kind of like gets her spirits up a little bit.
Yeah, she's probably looking at how positive her outlook was. I think she's had a plan to travel to Japan going for a while, and it's kind of remotivating her now that she's potentially going to be free of the house she owns and free of Owen.
Yeah, there's nothing like dealing with property ownership that feels like it's a Damocles sword over your head.
That's a reference I've never heard before.
Really?
I get to learn something today.
What, Damocles sword?
Yeah.
You've never heard of that?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm gonna have some Greek stories to read.
Well, it's all Greek to me. Let me see here. Honey, I wouldn't even know how to spell it.
Damocles. Google is a fantastic thing, and so is Wikipedia. but I'm not going to read that now. That's just there for later.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Greek characters. Come on. It's more so, like, the way that I've always used that, and I probably am using it incorrectly, is, like, it's just, you know, something hanging over your head, something that you just can't get out from under kind of thing. That's the way I've always seen the saying, and I know who the character, you know, who the Greek mythological whatever is. So Satomi says to her, "No, Eric, tonight he's working. I guess that's why you pulled out all the stops for dinner, huh?" You're not really complaining about a home-cooked meal your big sister made for you, right? And her older sister does not look older than her.
No, I forgot. I thought she was the younger sister still living at home.
Yeah, like they, like, Satomi, I don't know. It's weird. I can't, like, I would almost say they were sort of the same age, but maybe older sister, I don't remember, is, maybe it's like a year older or 2 years. Maybe it's not like a major age difference. So her sister asks her, "How's the planning?" Really good. While I eat all these noodles, she's talking about hitting all the stuff in Japan with Osaka, I should say, and Kyoto and all that. So they're talking about that. "You could always pick up a job, Satomi. Your Japanese is horrible."
I think what's going on here is she wants to go to Japan, but her sister's saying, like, no, you don't know how to handle that. You haven't been, you don't take it seriously, you don't speak Japanese, you can't get a job over there, you don't speak it.
Absolutely. And of course this is the whole, and her sister is just looking out for her in the long run. "I just don't think you're going to do it. It's not who you are. You don't adventure by yourself. Watch me." And that's kind of like a triple dog dare. Like, okay, I'm going to show you. And then she goes, wait, what?
I think she's, scrapbooking. She's looking at when her and Owen bought the house.
Okay. I'm sitting here thinking that's when they sold the house, but yeah, they bought the house with the sold sign. Yeah, she's looking back on it, and she just breaks out a map of Japan and says, "Next year we cut back to school time. Remember, Group A is presenting their reports on Frankenstein at the top of next week. And Group B, with Life of Pi, will be going on the next day." Got it? Okay. After. There it is. "See you all next week," as the bell rang. "Thanks again, Miss Sohn." And we have.
Oh, gosh, what's his name? I want to say Synapse, but that's not right.
Yeah, it's.
Phasing dude.
Yeah, Shifter.
Thank you. Good job.
Shift. Yes, Shift. Mr. Shift. Oh, boy. Because they've announced this, and we are way behind the times, folks, but at Comic-Con this year, they announced a Shift series is coming. So we are going to get this. This is why I love Kyle and everybody that he collaborates with in this universe, is that we start out with Radiant Black, we get some other Radiants, we get some more main stories with all of that, but then they go and give us, like, these little mini-series that are snapshots of each character that we don't need a whole series. Like, we don't need a whole Radiant Red series. We can have her be in Radiant Black as part of the team, but we still need to see some of her stuff, so 5-issue mini-series here, there, wherever, kind of thing, and I think they're doing that with Shift as well, so. Very cool, very, very cool, very cool. And, yeah, his, he's not so Uncle Sam in that pose. Like, we want you. Like, no, it's a little bit more, and you won't waste my time. I don't know who you are, but if you don't start heading out the door, I'll call security in the next 5 seconds. And, you know, he goes to another tactic and talks about her sister and the kids. And
yeah, he's trying to recruit her for a crime.
Yeah,
for her powers.
Yeah, so this is we were talking earlier about the bank robbing thing and how she's at her wit's end. And now she's kind of being blackmailed into doing crime. But we will see as this progresses that she luckily has better judgment than anything else. And we kind of see his powers a little bit. As he says, if you don't show up, the first thing that's going to happen is a lot of people, the precious Sohn family included, are going to find out that Chicago's big bad bank robber is actually some eighth grade lit teacher.
Jerk.
Very much jerk.
Yeah, it's the Radiant Black, and in the Radiant Rent series, there's the thing that kind of gets me a little bit is that the characters aren't all that likable, or they make really bad decisions, and I don't know how to feel about that, you know? Like, I want to look up to my characters or like them a little bit, and I'm rooting for Satomi to transcend this situation, to get the things that she wants without having to hurt people or blackmail people or steal anything, but like, I want her to be saved from the situation, and it she keeps surrounding herself by with horrible people.
Right, and it's also a universe building thing. Like I said, the mini stories here between everything that, and you know, look, people make mistakes in life. I mean, if we didn't, we'd all be, you know, perfect somehow. That's not possible though. Yeah, exactly. Perfectly like boring. Yeah. Well,
hey, I mean, wait a minute.
Superman does make mistakes. I mean, most of the time he tries to be a Boy Scout, but he's not really a Boy Scout. And so we get Alicia Castle here from the Lockport Voice, and she wants to talk. She's got questions about the incident in downtown Lockport a few weeks ago, and the Voice, that's the community paper, right? Your school was on my way home. I hope you don't mind. I'm doing a story about the community impact of the Embers collapse and the subsequent damage to State Street.
She knows way too much, this lady.
Yeah, she's a reporter. I mean, you know. Lois Lane knows way too much about Superman. April O'Neil knows way too much about the Turtles, because they reporters fall into these things, and they do their research and all of that. So we get them.
Follow the leads.
Yep, always follow the leads. So she asks her for a card in case I think of anything else, kind of thing. That'd be very helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Do you mind me asking who reported me as a witness? Oh, it was anonymous, but I wouldn't worry about it. Happens a lot.
Sure, right.
Sure it does. Oh, look, Joe says his sister-in-law has a great agent.
Well, yeah, how does that work? Do I have a sister-in-law? Jenny's brother's wife, would that be my sister-in-law?
Technically, yes. Yeah.
Okay, she's a lawyer, so.
No. Okay, well.
She doesn't have an agent.
You know, well, I mean, there are real estate lawyers, so you never know. Maybe she can help us with an appraisal next week, might be good. And Satomi's not really paying attention to him because she gets a text message, come to the address below tonight, 2 a.m. alone. Everything okay? Oh, yeah. Sorry, it was just a work thing starting to give me a little bit of a headache. I'm sorry, do you want some hot tea? That's okay. Hopefully it'll just go away. Oh, boy. And, okay, normally I'm not trying to be the moron that asks about art choices, because I'm no artist, but in this panel where he's asking her about the hot tea, his hair is black. In the very next panel, his hair is brown.
I'm going to guess that all of the colors lightened up because from this panel, they're looking through a window.
Okay.
That's the only excuse I have.
Okay. Like I said, not trying to nitpick on it. It was just, it's
that transition does stand out quite a bit.
Yeah, because what I like about this book, as I said a moment ago, is how it shows her in the same light, but it's different situations. In the prologue, in issue 6 of Radiant Black, we had her and Owen being all happy and smiling with the family, and then the next shot is basically the same shot, except they're sitting in the car, and they look like they're, you know, ready to cry their eyes out kind of thing. So I'm liking how a lot of this art is, and she's imagining, oh, that's what it is.
I think
this panel notwithstanding, but she's imagining, like, as they're eating, he's like, I miss this, a little bit of normal, and she kind of, like, flashes. She's, every time I see Radiant Red or whatever else, I always think of good old Black Widow. I've got a little red in my ledger, because that's all I can see every time I see red. I've got a little Radiant Red in my ledger kind of thing. Yeah, his design is all over the place. It's weird, but it is.
Radiant Red?
No. Owen,
yeah.
Owen's, because now he looks like a completely different character from the previous two panels.
Yeah.
And she looks the same. I mean, she looks like how she looks. So, talking about the group and that this other person seemed to get a lot out of it, and she's just daydreaming of just turning into Radiant Red, and like she's listening to him, but she's not really listening to him, where he says things have been weird between us, and I know selling the house, moving all of it will be really hard, but for the first time in a long time I remember what really matters. And that,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where it, you know, where the conversation ends. And 1:34 a.m. ran out for ibuprofen. Be back soon. XO. And so she gets to the address. She puts her phone back in her pocket. She starts to just like screw it. And that's the end of chapter one. So, man. That's just the prologue and the first chapter. This is a lot more than I thought it was going to be. Is like, because you think, oh, in chapter 6, okay, it's a snapshot of whatever her story is, and then we go back to chapter 7, 8, and 9 and whatever else to how she's dealing with. Like, we see the larger picture, but seeing the in depth here is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And there's some neat stuff that goes on in the next 3 issues that I'll call out when it occurs.
Cool. Yep. How are you feeling so far?
This trade was hard for me because I don't care yet.
Okay.
Like, I don't care about Satomi's character. It's Satomi's character, part of the Radiant group. I have not been convinced of the importance of it yet. Mm-hmm. And they're slightly unlikable characters. Owen, yeah, there's stuff that he, I think, is going to do later in the issue, and then she's surrounded by criminals who are just backstabbing slumarmy evil people.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, she's searching the place and looking for all the evil people. I'm looking for... Oh, shit.
And they dump a giant bucket of molten steel on her. This wasn't a meeting, this was an audition.
Oh yeah. This giant panel reminds me of the fight on Mustafar.
I hate you.
No, not that. Yes, but no. It's when they're on Mustafar and Padme gets stuck in one of those, like that.
Oh yeah.
Looks like one of those things. But yeah. Way, way too close. I love the way that looks, though. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is so cool how she looks. And pretty impressive trick, lady. But a little advice. Stay on your toes when you go walking into dark buildings at night. Nice mustache. Very intimidating. But I'm looking for the guy with the hair. I love this. I love how they're, you know, it's an audition for her, but it's them doing the stuff, and it's basically Shift's kind of henchmen, hench people kind of thing, and I love that panel. Stop wasting my time. Giant fist of punch of kill everything. Poor Danny, now he owes me $20. Glad you made it, Red.
I think this is the second time I've noticed that the sound effects that he makes are green.
Yep. That goes along with his Shift powers.
Yep.
And again, that's what I like about this universe, this series, this just all the stuff with the Massiverse is that between Radiant Black, Red, Yellow, Pink, everything is color-coded to them. I mean, obviously, Radiant Black, I don't think you can glow black, but you can glow blue with a black uniform, so that's perfectly fine. You having fun yet? I'm not here to play games with some lowlife who's in love with his own voice. So we kind of see a little bit of how he does his powers on his wrist here. That's cool. Like that. He turns it on and we are introduced to Shift, who, I don't know, that sword looks, you're the sword guy. What does that sword look? I don't know what that sword looks like, but it doesn't look like it's going to do much damage.
It's glitching. I don't know if I want to get hit by that.
Yeah, no.
Pixelated looking.
Yeah. I like the way it looks. It just, I don't know. I always think of swords as being longer than that. Like, that just looks like a machete to me. That doesn't look like.
Yeah, that's a good machete length. I don't know. Depends on your technique, I suppose.
I guess. Jesus, you're exhausting. I love her lines. I love when she's going up against these guys or going up against anything here or in the main series with Radiant Black. I love the way that she reacts to a lot of the stuff. Did you just phase through? Okay, well, no wonder he's called Shift. He has phase powers.
He has the power of offset printing. Mm-hmm. He can shift the colors.
Yep, very much so. So this is, you know, she almost gets him. He swift back kicks her, up kicks her, whatever the hell. You got a couple of good ones in there, Red. Too bad. Stop.
Oh, shoot. Oof.
Her phasing powers, she released the
steel magma, molten hot.
Yeah, the molten hot magma right through him. Well, that's new. Well, and we learned that there's a woman, there's a bigger boss behind. I've seen enough. There's a bigger boss behind this, so Shift is not the one in charge, thankfully. He's just the recruiter. And this new lady says, "Your ninja ripoff tried to tear up my life like it's some fun little show for you. I should squeeze your... How else could we have gotten you here? How else would you have shown up?" And, oh, she's showing up all right. You know. Shift, everyone, go away. And
she's got... Waller from DC.
Yeah. Yep, yep, very energy. Much. Yeah, Margot. I'm Margot. Margot has a very much Amanda Waller type feel, and the rest of them are just the stupid Suicide Squad. Satomi's not interested in what she has to say, but I know a lot about you already. I actually wanted to see a little more for myself, but you've come up. Hard to miss the big shows you put on at those banks, not to mention Lockport, Chicago, all of that. I like your initiative. Listen, I don't want this, not anymore. And if I did, why would I get involved with you? I don't need things to get messy. So, Satomi is trying to get out of this. She is, like, she doesn't want to join them. She doesn't want to whatever. She's trying her best.
And she got blackmailed into it. I mean, he had photos of her school.
Mm-hmm. Her school, her family. I mean, this part of her story is not her. She's basically playing self-defense. Like, she's defending herself. She's not, like, there isn't a switch in her brain that says, again, when you, just because somebody does a desperate thing doesn't mean they're automatically evil.
Yeah, so you're right, and I think the only bad decision she made was robbing that bank, which she did with good intentions, even though
it was
naughty, everything else has been a consequence of that she could not avoid. She could not avoid being tracked by the reporter. She could not avoid this lady figuring out everything about her and getting blackmailed into doing what they're going to want her to do in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love the character designs. I love how everyone is so very different. Everyone, from what we've seen between Satomi's powers and Shift's powers and poor old Danny, who just tried to take a bat to Satomi, I guess. But Margo Lady says, listen, Satomi, forget the stupid shit Shift said about your family, about going public. Forget all that. This is about you. You're very good at this, unique, but you're in a tough position right now, and to let this slip out of your fingers would be a wasted opportunity. You work with us, you save your house, your relationship, you won't have to worry about your job, about anyone finding out, you'll have protection. You're a shark, but right now you're alone. We'd have your back.
Yeah, I mean, like, these are the positives of this thing, but we need you to do crime. Mm-hmm. And now she's trying to, and I can't do this long term, she's trying to get in and get out, John Wick style. And, you know, once you're in, you're kind of in. This lady's not going to let you go.
Yeah, coming and going won't work. Not in the long run, I'm telling you that now. So, well, that's the way it has to be. Fine, one job, if that's the way it has to be, but the lady is still going to screw her over in the end. Think about it, but I won't give you very long. I do love the close-ups on Satomi, whether she's in the Radiant Red uniform or whether she's just in her regular clothes. I love the designs of the character. I think that's really cool. And
Mike, you convinced me. Like, I feel bad for her now. I understand it.
Look, like, the lady isn't even going to tell her what the job is until she's all in. And she keeps asking. And this is Mercury S. I think that's an S. Yeah, S or 5. Let's just say Mercury 5. Extremely valuable, extremely toxic. That's where you come in. And that's how Chapter 3 ends. And yeah, I mean, like I said, she's not, like, it would be different if, in how we've seen her previously, that she did not show remorse. Like, she specifically has said in the past, she wasn't trying to kill Nathan. She felt bad about him being in the hospital. She, you know, she's not a remorseless character. She has these feelings and this whatever. We just didn't see a lot of it because she was only shown in certain parts. But now that we're having her in her own story here, as we start Chapter 3, Great Expectations. Oh, boy.
Have these all been literary references in the titles? Feel bad for not noticing now.
What was Brave New World?
Yep, Aldous Huxley.
Chapter 2 was what? I forget off the top of my head. Chapter 2 was, let's see, I'm going to go a little fast here. Chapter 2.
Yeah, okay, they're all book references.
Yep, they're all book references. Which is awesome. That is so cool.
How did I not notice that before? Like, come on, Joe.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. And, well, that's the other thing. Like, you could take any of these. Like I said, the main title of the trade is Crime and Punishment.
Yeah.
And then you get, you know, Brave New World and, you know, the one I just said. Great. Now we get Great Expectations in Chapter 3. And we're in Lockport at The Voice. And what's her name is writing up the story of whatever. And this right here, this little panel right here where you see her finger about to hit the enter key, but you see the delete key at the top left. Mm-hmm. All I can think of is, oh, what's his name? Joey Pants. 20 years ago in Daredevil. Oh, what's the reporter's name?
Oh, yeah.
God, what's his
Ben Urich.
Yeah, Ben Urich. All I can think of is Ben Urich, where he's like, do I publish it? Do I? And he starts deleting it. And obviously, she's not going to do that. You've dotted your I's and crossed the T's. And I know it's one of them, but either way, I'm close, really close. What do you think? So this is just a rough draft for her editor, I guess, or one of the... one of the drafts, and the editor's like almost lose. She's like, don't tell me you're losing your nerve. This can't bomb. We can't get it wrong. And I don't want us to sound like a gossip rag. Yeah, that's the last thing you want to sound like. And she's convincing her editor, and her editor says, well, when you're ready, dot the I's and we'll get the battle stations ready. I always do. Oh. Radiant Red revealed by Alicia Castle. Oh boy, what were you gonna say?
There we go. It's
yep,
gonna out her eventually.
Yeah,
maybe.
It looks like it. And so we're back at the family's house, and we see her and Owen and. My hair still does that annoying thing where it sticks up in the back. Well, we didn't call you Satuki Bird for no reason. I think it's endearing, though I'd seen them all. Or thought I'd seen them all. And, oh, that face is uglier than the Joker. Oh, I almost threw up in my mouth just now. I don't know what design Owen is supposed to be.
He changes every time.
Every freaking time we see him. And I'm pretty sure the art people that are on the book, the inker and the colorist and the penciler and all, I'm pretty sure it has not changed through, like, I can see it's changed from, like, chapter 6 of Radiant, or issue 6 of Radiant Black, obviously, because that was the prologue, but for issues 1 through 5 of this, he's different in almost every panel, and I guess it just goes to show, like, we're not supposed to like him no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Look, his hair is different again. Like, I'm sorry, folks, but if you're reading Radiant Red, like, seriously, that's completely different. And just, no. And now he looks like the Danny kid that she fought off. Why we didn't tell him about selling the house? And she's like, let me tell them that. Is that
okay?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, she can't handle stuff with her, like, I don't know what it is, like, because her family wants to see her always succeed. It's one of those types of families that there's probably so much tradition and everything else and so much expectation that any type of failure is like the end of the world mm-hmm. kind of thing, which sucks. That's not the way it's supposed to be. She says, you have nothing to be sorry for, Owen. And she goes back to first day of school nervous. Should I be? Danny's on the outside. He'll coordinate the timing of your entrance and exit, provide backup for any surprise factors, tick surveillance. She'll be on the cameras, alarms, and the like. And your point leader shift will be working in tandem with our newest member, Red, who will be responsible for managing our payload. Payload? So shift explains that she basically has to absorb this very unstable thing.
Liquid mercury stuff?
Yeah, she has mm-hmm. to absorb it, hold on to it, release it, and then, yeah, there's a series of decontamination chambers and all that and everything else. And yeah, so the vessel they're storing the Mercury S in will be would normally take us a bigger crew and more time safely access. That's why you're here. Yep. Payout will be 10 million. Bank takes 4, so your cut will be 1.5 million each. Any questions? The client, what is this for? Not your concern.
Yeah, don't you never ask that question.
Yeah, you never ask that. Like, what's this for? Because she wants to make sure they're not going to do it for, like, and I don't know what.
Blow up a school with it?
Yeah, really, you think? God, reminds me of, is it, well, I know Kindergarten Cop is when Arnold went back to school and whatever else, but the father there, the gangster, like, they have the whole fight in, at the end of the movie, and I need to rewatch that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, I think I need to watch that, too. My son's, they finally asked why I keep saying, it's not a tumor when I have a headache or something, and, yeah. Oh, well, let's watch the scene, guys.
Yep. That's hilarious. Oh, man. And she says, they're taking the compound out of cold storage on the 10th, and shipping it out on the 12th. Our only opening is the night before it goes out. She'll have to absorb the entire batch, retain it, and deliver it in its original form back at the safe house. At the risk of sounding unprofessional, that's not something I've been able to do at will, at least.
Oh, yeah, because she... Yeah. It was an accident when she spewed the metal back on shift.
Yeah. Get her ready. No complications. You have a month. And what I like about this is that we go between her having the drama with Owen and all that. We go between that and her family, her home life now, which doesn't include Owen as she's washing dishes, and then the whole crime thing. I love how each part of her story feels. Oh, my God. It's. Oh, God. I just. At least he looks the same now versus earlier. so they are still, quote unquote, together. They're still living together, still whatever together. And she says, what does she say here? 4 weeks. She must have said, ooh, oh, that's what it is. I didn't see the page over here. Ooh, this is a bad idea. What's a bad idea?
I'm going to rob him. Thing and send chemicals to nope.
just working through something, ready to eat. Yep. French vanilla, Rocky Road chocolate and peanut butter cookie dough. Rocky Road peanut butter chocolate cookie dough. Oh Lord.
Do you know what they're watching?
Oh,
I'm sure that's a reference that.
Yeah,
we're nerds.
You would think it's some movie, I think. I can't tell.
Let us know in the comments, listeners.
Yes, please. Comment on geekcastradio.com. So he's going to ask her for another favor. Oh, so this is her where – this is him where he mentions his Gammonon, his
Gambling Anonymous, come help me at my next meeting.
Yeah. And she's like, sure, when is it? And he says
it's the night of the robbery.
Oh, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, ready? Absolutely. We'll start small. So we go back to shift and red and absorbing. And so what's your deal? Did your button fall from the sky too? What? I'm just a guy in a suit. Human ingenuity meets advanced alien technology, I guess. I'm actually powered by you. Radiance power my suit. Being around you literally super... This isn't creepy at all. So that's what they were saying in Radiant Black, is that when he came on the scene a few times, the Radiance will power all these other people's technologies because they're sort of based on them, like the powers kind of thing. So he's sticking her in a vat of molten mess and molten lava and all that. What do you have to lose, Red? And, you know, they talk back and forth. You never turn it off, do you? Heh. Nope.
The smarm? Never.
Never. Nope. So they do a whole fight test thing where they're beating each other up, and she's trying to, and then they, oh god, nope, go away, Shift, you're a lot of fun, Rat. Like, I like you, and nope, but if you can't do the job, you can't. Well, she basically trips him, rages out like Hulk, and for half a second I thought some radiant somethings were going to appear.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that looks like when Nathan was asleep and the radiant appeared to him as the robot, where it just says radiant across the, like, I thought that's what that was going to be, but
yep.
But it isn't. It's just her kind of emotionally, you know, wow, did you see that? See what? You nail the assignment? Well, also the big mech. Oh, so it is. That isn't her in the suit. That's her. Okay. That's Radiant Red Robot. Because she's hulking out, raging out, and then, okay.
We'll see that. To save her from that situation.
Yep. We will see that way down the line later. I can't wait until they get to the point of collecting it. So the Catalyst War, which is the bit, which is what this whole thing has been leading to, is issue 25 of Radiant Black just came out. There's cover A and cover B. Cover A has one story, cover B has another. So it's so weird, and I can't wait to just collect it, and hopefully the collected edition has both stories. But what they were doing was in the, and this isn't really spoiling it for you, because by the time we get there, you'll
forgotten.
Yeah, you'll be like me, you've forgotten. So
that's my superpower.
Nathan and Marshall eventually start sharing Radiant.
Oh, that's cool.
So they switch between them. So Nathan will have it for a little while, and he'll be Radiant Black. Marshall will have it for a little while, he'll be Radiant Black. They get to a point where they bring it down to a vote, like, who should Radiant Black be, Nathan or Marshall? And they let us it's already done by now, but because issue 25 is out. But issue 25 is seeing them both be Radiant Black, but it's under cover A for one and cover B for the other. So I'm like, wait, I have to buy issue 25 twice? I have to buy all these issues twice to see this? So I'm like, I'm just going to wait until I hit the trade.
You know, that's actually kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. It is, but it's like, I don't know. It reminds me of buying two Transformers to have one in package and one out of package kind of thing. But in this case, if you don't buy both covers, you're going to miss out on part of the story.
Have you seen The Flash yet?
Nope. I will when it hits whatever streaming service it's. I forget if it's hitting Max or wherever it's going.
It's got to be any day now, but
probably.
It would be neat to see a comic like that where, well, I mean, I guess Radiant is giving it to us, but I'm thinking back to the other time that I remember readers having a chance to vote on to whether or not Robin dies.
Yep.
And imagine, yes, we're going to vote, but here's one issue where he lives and here's one issue where he died.
Yep.
Which one do you want us to go with? And it might delay the next issue of the comic for a bit, but that's an interesting kind of thing to leave up to us.
Yeah. Very interesting. So this is her robot who saved her from that situation. Did you see that? See what? It was a big mech thing. It was here for a second. I can't say I did, but maybe you're just tapped out. We've been at it all night. Good job, Red. Keep practicing, and let's do it again soon. So we get a Radiant Black appearance. What is it? What did you screw up? What is it? What did you screw up? What? You DM'd to meet. I assume there's something you need me to fix. Relax. It's not what this. That's not what this is, Marshall. Also, the top of a grain silo, isn't this a bit much?
It's a dumb spot. I can fly. You can climb. Why not talk on the ground? Why talk on the ground? So what do you want? I have some questions, I guess. In Japan, okay, so technically she already went to Japan because they got, they had that whole thing with the giant robot arm that came out of his chest. I was there. I've started getting these flashes, and I think I might have one of those too. It's trying to talk to me. Oh yeah, they do that. Mine doesn't. Really? It's a thing? Yeah. Enigmas and riddles and all that. Hey, I don't have to be here. Listen, I'm just trying to understand this thing, okay? What I can or can't do with it, does the robot give you the instructions at some point? That didn't happen in some ways, yeah, but I mean, I'm standing here talking to the person who put my best friend in a coma. Everything comes with credenzas. Oh my god. Caveats, whatever. And she goes on and tells him that, I'm starting to want this, to enjoy it, and that's scary because wanting to be whatever this is will blow everything up in my life, my family. I can't have both. Sounds like you have bigger things to sort out. Yep. They just kind of stand there, and then we go to the next night.
The night of the heist.
Night of the heist. Yep. And keep practicing, he said. Well, here I am. Maybe this isn't the night of the heist. Oh, shit. Well, this isn't the night of the heist, I don't think. Because giant...
Oh, man.
Hello, Satomi. Holy crap. That's a big robot. Can you hear me? Wow. I see you, Satomi. I have always seen you. You've been poking around in my head off and on. Why now? Relationship, partnership, sync, incomplete, in progress. Communication is fundamental to any, all good relationships. Our connection is final, permanent for the duration of your life. You are part of existence. You are ready. Why now? What does that mean? You have made your choice. You are ready. Why now? Correct. Oh, boy.
Yeah, all that. Oh.
Shit, what time is it? Owen, are you here? So, this wasn't the night of the heist. This was that same... I think, if I'm reading this right, I could be completely wrong. Let me go back here and see. So, it's black and red. Must be the same night, but a little bit later, because it doesn't say time passed. It doesn't say anything that, like, this looks like the same night, and she just went to go somewhere to practice her absorbing thing and or her blasts or whatever, and then all of a sudden, giant freaking robot. Oh, yeah, I think this is the same night, and this was the night that you're right. That was the Gamblers Anonymous meeting thing. And she runs into Alicia. What do you... And Alicia asks her before the end of the chapter here, what do you know about Radiant Red? We'll talk about the stuff in a second, but chapter 4, Things Fall Apart. Things Fall Apart, is that a... I assume that's a book. Oh, boy.
I read all of these in high school.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
I don't remember what Things Falling Apart was, but I did read it.
We'll have to... Wow. Everything that they do it for a reason, and it's, Chapter 3, Great Expectations? Yeah, she's got some great expectations to fill because we finally meet the Radiant Red Robot. Holy crap! Thoughts?
That makes me wonder who everybody else's robot is going to be. And I'm getting more and more excited for Radiant War to know, because this is what the robots have been vaguely hinting at the whole time.
Yeah, the Catalyst War. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So chapter 4, we have her yelling at Alicia. What do I know about Radiant Red? Excuse me. May I come in? So they have a talk. Is your fiance home? No. I hope you don't mind being forward, but what the hell are you doing here? What do you know about some criminal with superpowers? How is anyone supposed to respond to that? And Alicia pretty much know the patient in the hospital and all that. And are you a reporter or a cop? And it's this whole animosity thing between, not really on Alicia's part, but on Satomi's part, because she's like, and unfortunately, people in gambling circles tend to keep excellent records. So she basically pretty much knows everything.
Yep.
If your article was buttoned up, you'd just call or email for our comments. You don't have enough. You know, you still need more information, another source. Sorry, I don't have anything for you. I think you should go now. You know, she says all this stuff. And she says, oh, you think, she comes to the realization, and I love this little switch here between Alicia kind of walking out and her, they're basically back to back, but you look at how the coloring is done, and then it switch. Oh, you think Radiant Red is Owen, you don't think it's me. You don't think it's
me. Then she just realizes what she just
did. What do you mean? No, nothing. Maybe I'm off, but not by much. And she says, I'm going to say this one time, Satomi, there are a lot of sharks in this business, which will take every chance to label this in whatever way they think will sell papers. Take control of your own story before someone else does. 11:32. Owen, hi, sorry, I know it meant a lot to you. It's okay. Really, I know you would have tried to be there. Things happen. You sure? There's another one next month, or maybe that'll work better. Yeah, absolutely. I'm there. And, yeah, that's not... things should be a lot smoother after this. Are you seeing someone else, and this is a whole... Are you joking? Owen, this is me. It's work. I know how you are when it comes to work. It's not a work thing that's kept you busy for weeks now. This is different. And another bank? No, more complicated than that. But that money in the vents taken care of. They're going to swap it out. We won't have to sell the house. We can pay everything off, build our credit back up. We're finally going to be in the clear. Did you hear what I said? And he just punches a wall. What are you doing? Stop it. Don't do that again. And he's apologizing and apologizing. What you turned me into. And she's just like, do you know who I am? I'm not some pet that bends around to whatever is going on in your life. And they just have this big old shouting match. Yeah, enjoy your dinner.
There's some interesting psychology going on there, some manipulation
on Owen's
part.
Yep.
Like, not taking responsibility for it or putting the situation that he got them into on her.
Yep. Yeah.
Gaslighting, that sort of thing. It's like, man, they are aware of the writers are aware of this world of social manipulation that can happen between couples. And so that was a heavy argument that I'm sure will give some readers PTSD in a way.
A little bit. So
and it makes it easier for her. See, that argument makes it easier for her to do this.
Yep. Because she's like, I just want to be, like, after that argument, she just is like, I just want to do this, get it done, get it over with, and be out. Even though once you're in, you know, you can't get out. Cameras on level 2, covered. So this is the night of the heist. Let's go. He phases through, lets her in. He's phasing through all these doors. Elevator, any minute now. Good old Ham Hawk, right on time. It's Hammond, Dr. Hammond. This is the safecracker? Interesting. There's a slight complication. What kind of a complication? One of my colleagues is still on the floor. He's moping around somewhere about his performance review, but if we avoid Dr. Evans's lab, I think we should hide!
Duck!
Duck and cover, and he tosses them a key card or whatever it is.
And can we do this without him? We'll be a little slower. Chick, you ready? Yeah, what happened now? Hammond is occupied. Direct us to the tank. Give me a second. So they're going to go through with this. And let's see. Sorry, door on the right across from you. And, yeah, so the doctor and his whatever shows up and...
Uh-oh.
The little...
Oh, I can't believe he got to the alarm that quick.
Yeah, well, isn't it right?
Yeah, it's right there.
Literally, it's right there. So They're literally two, like, less than a foot. They're, like, inches away from it. Mm-hmm. Little person hits the alarm. The alarm rings. She punches him. Tick, stay on comms. Get to the van. And we should probably get that engine running. We have an all-out fight brawl. Fight
with the guards ensues.
Yeah, fight with the guards. All of that. And you need to power through to the tank. I'll keep the pawns busy. So, wow. Holy, like, I knew her, like, her absorbing powers and her punching powers. I knew all. She's, like, basically Supermaning it through every wall here.
Look at what that. She can't break, she absorbs, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably, most likely, but holy crap, from one elevator through the other, like, it's like she's going through all the up. Those poor elevators, man. They ain't never gonna work now. And she absorbs it, and wow, I love that design. Why can't we have that design more?
That's cool. Because chrome is hard to draw.
It's just white, silver, and red lines, but no, that is freaking cool. That is awesome. She looks so good in that. She basically just, oh my God, she looks almost the size of, it's not the size of the Radiant Red Robot, but compared to him, she looks three times bigger than he does. Because she's basically just grabbing him.
Is that a choice? Yes, I'm asking the nerd questions about how her powers work. Like, is this a choice that she grows bigger, or is it because she absorbed the volume? It makes sense that in this situation, it's because she absorb the volume of the liquid mercury evil technical chemical, yep. But she didn't get larger when she absorbed the molten steel.
Yeah.
And so, well, it seems like sometimes she's putting it in the fourth dimension, the matter, the mass, and then she can call it back from there to make the fist that she punches people with, or...
Yeah. Gonna feel that in the morning. Let's go. They peel out of there. How bad is it that we wrecked the place? They know we were there. The cleanup will cost us probably come out of our shares, but that's what contingency plans are for. Don't worry, Red. You did great, and most importantly, looked great doing it. He's still... Oh, God. It wasn't plan A, but we got what we came for. Good thing I saved your ass, too. We're here. That was fast. This isn't the warehouse. Where are we delivering the payload? Sorry, Red. Oh, boy. Yep. Double cross. Dun, dun, dun. Holy crap. Well.
I have not read Crime and Punishment.
It's been a while. It's been a long while since I've read. Chapter four, whatever. Wow. It's a good thing we have a chapter five, because what a cliffhanger that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you liking Satomi versus everybody else now?
It with the Ninja Turtles and with this, it always takes me that second going through it with you on the podcast to make me understand and appreciate the things that I missed the first time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. She was forced into this situation all the way back to Owen's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just trying to do right by whatever situation she's currently in.
Yep. And I mean, like I said, did she have to rob a bank? No, she didn't. They, you know, but...
You're right, and that's the one mistake that she made.
Right, and I
think... Everything else has been her getting put into the situation.
And she having to react or make choices to it.
Yep.
And I think the reason why she, because they tried. We saw in the prologue, we saw in issue 6, Radiant Black. She tried going to the bank. And obviously the bank was like, hey, guess what? You ain't got no money. So, because Owen did something stupid like he always does.
Forged her signature.
Yep. So that then was like, oh, well, I have nothing to fall back on or nothing to this. Or, sorry, you don't have enough credit to get a loan with us kind of thing or whatever it is. Or you have too much bad, whatever. No credit, bad credit. It's all just crazy. So we open issue 5 with Margot and Satomi, and she just breaks the chains and she's about ready to punch Margot out. They're relaying to a remote location. Oh, it's all the cameras. I'm sorry to admit that one job business was never in the cards. Nope. Just not going to work. Give me my money. I'm done. All right, then. Bring him out. And they drag out Owen, who, again, has another completely different look. I knew you wouldn't like this, but I promise, it's very simple. Two options. The first one is messy, we kill everyone you love, Owen goes into a body bag right now. We bury your parents, Yuki, both of those sweet little kids you love so much. Wrap everything up, I know what you're thinking, Satomi, that you can fight back, maybe get to all of us first, but that's a big maybe. Or I give you the out you're looking for. I know there are a lot of feelings wrapped up in Owen here. You met when you were kids, yada, yada, yada. No gambling problems, no soul-crushing debt, no dabbling in recreational bank robbery. So why not let him take the fall? Let him pay for his share in all of this. As far as everyone knows, Radiant Red is a man. You set it up that way. Owen goes away alive, serves a little time in jail. Meanwhile, you lie low for a while, and when things quiet down, you'll be free, really free. You can start over with us. So what's it going to be, option A or option B? Boy. Owen, I'm so sorry you got caught up in this, but she's right. There's no choice here. And it's been over for a long time. I wish I had the guts to say something earlier and all of that. And this is who I really am. No more pretending or making excuses. This is the only option. So tell me, you're not going to kneecap him in prison, right? And my family will be left alone. As long as you're good, they're good. Okay, are you ready for your new life? Ready to finish the job. So Shift drags him off, and you know how delays make us uneasy, Margot. Friends, we are ready to deliver, and I may present our newest addition to the roster, the ultimate safecracker. Impressive. I don't remember who any of these guys are.
I think a lot of those guys are probably the other goons from the other gang that they're delivering the stuff to.
You're probably right, most likely. So she drains out all the energy into the vat, and it's 3,261.7. That's the last of it. Start the shipment. Now they need to clear the border before noon. Wait a minute. We're off by a few grams. We're missing, let's see here. So, wait, what? I know what she did, but how did she do it?
She shook her hand back before.
Yes, right. So
that's where she shook the other guy's hand there.
Right, but she shook his hand.
But pages before, when she says, all right, fine, I'll keep doing the crimes.
Okay, she shook Margot's hand. Okay, when she was, all right, yep. But, oh, wow, that's devastatingly cool. I don't know how to feel about this. What have you done? I'm finishing the job. How could I?
You're too confident in your skills of persuasion, Margo. Your identity, your family, I'll ruin you. I'll destroy everything you have. It's over. Cough, 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 cough. Oh, it's over, all right.
Oh, man.
Took you long enough.
Oh, I forgot. Shift is there at home where she, when she arrives with Owen tied up in a chair.
You could read the tea leaves. The second Margo pitched the plan. Talk too much. That's one for the record. Talk too much. That one for the record. I would have done the same thing as you. Iced the whole lot of them and kind of my MO actually. But still, it takes a cold one to pull something like that. I think I may be in love with you. cutthroats and arms. Great minds, you know. We're nothing alike, Shift. Aren't we? Should we run the game tape? Just murdered a bunch of people. Check bad people. Maybe, but warm-blooded humans with families. That doesn't look great. No remorse. Check. Took up bank robbing. Lied to your basic ass boyfriend over there. I don't know, Red. It doesn't seem like sainthood is in your cards. No judgment for me, clearly. We have a great time together, kind of thing. So he's just egging her on. Owen, bud, bad news, unfortunately. I am the jealous type. Oh, boy. And, yeah, so she just touches his sword, basically gets cut by it, and kicks his ass through a wall. So they have another fight between the two of them. Yep. That's cool.
That was a neat panel.
Yeah, the big splash page here. Yeah, that is so very cool. And he basically stabs her through the whatever there and heart or whatever. This really sucks. I'm not going to say we could have had something really cool here, but we could have had something really cool here. And she just absorbs and breaks and does her whole radiant red thing. And holy crap.
Wow.
Holy crap. Holy shit, Satomi. We need to go. People will be here any minute. And that's it for the house, I guess.
Well, they don't have to sell it anymore.
Nope. It's an insurance nightmare is what it is.
The insurance is a problem now in the bank. Yep.
And then, I don't know. Find everyone. We'll be out of work. I need to give you something. I'm glad things didn't go the other way, but all those things I said back there, they're true. Maybe if we were smarter or a little braver, we would have ended things a long time ago. Either way, I think this is for us. I've gotten to do my own thing, now start over, figure it out, how to be a whole person, the good and the bad, all at once. So they basically part on good terms, never giving up on the one, you know, classic Satomi, never giving up on the ones you're near the most, and she takes the money and goes to Alicia. Sorry, but I wanted to see if your offer still stands about my story. And she goes and turns the money into the police. My name is Satomi Sohn. I'm Radiant Red.
Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, dun, dun. I really dug it. I thought it was great. I love getting the more in-depth story to her character, not just seeing her fight with Marshall or fight with whomever she's got to fight with kind of thing. And all of these covers are just so great.
The Superman number one, or Action Comics number one homage down there.
Yeah, that is so cool. That is very awesome. Very awesome, very awesome. Very, very cool. Love it, love it. And yeah, that's Radiant Red, folks. So, what are your final thoughts, sir?
Better than I thank you for kind of talking me into remembering why this was awesome. I needed that because it is full of a lot of characters who are making bad decisions, but I think it is important to note that her decisions, while bad, are out of survival for situations that other people have put her in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's that the people shame the decisions that people make because, hey, you are responsible for you. You chose this, you chose that.
Yeah.
And I think people that have been in bad situations like that know that sometimes you really didn't have a choice. And I don't I think it's fair to say that Satomi did not really have a choice.
Yeah.
And her staying with Owen while he was having gambling problems the first time off camera that we didn't ever see shows that she wasn't going to give up on him, even though he failed her again.
Yeah.
So, you know, she is a good person who just had a terrible hand of cards dealt to her.
Yeah, absolutely. She, yeah. I completely
agree. Depending on the sides and what happens in this Radiant War event, that I can only guess what's going on in that. I think it's going to make it easier for me to root for her and the decisions that she'll make there, because by that point, she will be free of these current situations.
Yeah, it progresses in interesting ways, and now that we are at the point of issue 6, issue 7 through 12, we're about next week we're going to do, or next episode we're going to do, volume 3, Rogues Gallery, which is issues 13 to 18 of Radiant Black. It is all one big thing, but I don't know when they're going to focus on her again, but where she goes in the Radiant Black story versus where she is now, where she's come to this point, it's one of those things where it's like, interesting. And yeah, I absolutely love seeing the in-depth story, and I'm hoping, I know we are getting a Radiant Pink series. I think we're getting a Radiant Yellow series, but I'm not sure. And I'm not sure how, when we do the next episode of the podcast and cover Radiant Red. Wow. Radiant Black volume 3. We might have to record that in two chunks, folks, because we can record issues 13 to 17 perfectly fine, but I think issue 18 is the Radiant Yellow issue, which these creators are doing amazingly interesting. The whole comic, the physical single issue of Radiant Black issue 18, folds and unfolds to show all of Wendell's timelines. Because Radiant Yellow, Wendell, the old guy, is the guy that has the timeline type. Like, he's seen all these various versions of the future and the past. And I'm like, oh my God. There's a video somewhere where Kyle Higgins did the unfolding. I'll have to see if I can find that.
Am I going to have to go buy a physical copy of issue 18?
I'm not trying to make you do that, but I think you wouldn't have to, as long as I find the video of Kyle unfolding it, just so you can see. I think it's going to be perfectly fine. There's going to be too much paper crinkling if we if we had you go get a physical copy of 18. But yeah, we are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. Come back to give ratings and close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey, welcome to the last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or
or not, lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Transformers! You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod. Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com. At iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
All right, we are back here inside the Pullbag. Radiant Red, Volume 1, Crime and Punishment. Final thoughts, sir?
I enjoyed it more this time. Definitely. I think it's going to make the event at the end more meaningful, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I wasn't sure because I wasn't that... I think my... And this is just the way Kyle Higgins is and the way that he does his... Like I said, his breakup issues where it's like five issues and then the sixth issue is whatever one-off... It's not a one-off story, but it's a... I think the art kind of took me out of that at first, but I was interested in Satomi's character, and I like seeing where how far she's come and how far she's going to go kind of thing. Who knows what's going to happen next, but it is what it is. And, yeah, I really did dig this. I didn't plenty of times I didn't really care about Owen at all, but at least they're kind of, like, finally just going their separate way. I mean... Hell, after Shift and Red basically destroy the house, like, there's no more real worry. All the insurance is going to take care of that now. So, Radiant Red Volume 1, I will give it a 4 out of 5, I think.
I agree. 4 out of 5. Yep. 5 reserved for those stories that make me openly weep or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean... Other than Owen's design constantly changing a few times. And like I said, I'm pretty sure the artist did not change throughout the entire. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same art team.
Yeah, like I think it was the same artist. I think there were a couple of times where his hair was blocked by a speech balloon. And I think there were a couple of coloring decisions that made it the changes were more frequent because of those than just the art by itself, but still
in the title page of where the credits are, it would have said, hey, you have, because they would want to credit every artist, every everything, so. But they didn't say that, so there was nothing there to... Yeah. So, Yeah, 4 out of 5 for both of us. You can catch us next week when we dig into Radiant Black Volume 3 Rogues Gallery. After that, I've got 2 episodes where my buddy Jesse and I are talking about Skybound Entertainment's Void Rivals, numbers 1 and 2. Those are going to be basically just completely, I mean, he edited part of the audio for, because we did it on his YouTube channel, and I'm just kind of copying the audio, so I'll just put a blank intro and blank outro on that and just kind of get them online. But we are getting back on track as we are about to head into Autobotly August for 2023. Steve Megatron and I are going to record volumes 5, 6, and 7 of the Marvel Transformers US run, so we'll do that in August. And yeah, hope everyone had a great July and all that good stuff, and I think that's it, unless you got anything else you want to say.
No, you mentioned Transformers. I'm excited for the reboot now that IDW is not doing it anymore. I forgot where it's going. Is it going to
it's at Skybound. See, that was the funny thing for me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize Skybound Entertainment is like the Vertigo of Image. It's an imprint of Image. I thought Skybound was its own separate thing. But yeah, Skybound Entertainment has it. And yes, Skybound is an imprint of Image Comics. So I'm very excited to see what happens there. And
I need to add that to my pull list.
Yeah. I think you'll like Void Rivals. I think it's only supposed to be 5 issues. I could be wrong, but I think you like that. It's a space story. It's about 2 different species of alien kind of thing, and it takes place in space, and they meet up with a couple of Transformers things here and there. But it's a nice little interesting story so far.
Oh, that's right, because they're bringing them into the universe. They're not. Yep. It's not just a comic. It's in.
Well, yeah, but Skybound is starting this whole new Energon universe, so they're bringing in the Void Rivals is its own new creative thing by Kirkman. They're bringing in Transformers, G.I. Joe, all that, and starting the Energon universe, which is, I'm excited for it. I'm really looking forward to see what they do. IDW had a great 17-year run from 2005 to 2019 or 2021. Was when it finally finished up, but yeah, I'm very excited to see what new things we can get from the new creators. So thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on X. Yes, we are on X. And yes, Elon gave us X. I don't know why he had to give X to us, but he did. We are at Geekcast Radio, at The Pullbag. I am at TFG1Mike. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. And also check out The Pullbag and the Geek Stuff Garage Sale over there as well. Have you guys figured out when the next one? At the end of August, beginning of September, October? Do we know yet?
End of September, early October. We're still waiting to hear back from the landlord, which has me very nervous. But we'll see what we can do. We'll make it happen, one way or the other.
One way or the other. Awesome, awesome. You can always just have it in your backyard.
Yeah, we can do that again. Go old school.
There ain't no school like the old school. As I mentioned earlier, join us next time when we'll be discussing Radiant Black Volume 3 Rogues Gallery. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Joe Reed.
As always, make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullbag and @GeekcastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.